Yeah, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this man, Lord, and for the body, Lord, that he also represents here tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done in his life, Lord, and in the life of their church, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that the greatest gifts that you give us, Lord, is many times, Lord, it's the lives of people, Lord. And we want to receive this gift to this body, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless it, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. You would use him as a channel, Lord, and that you would be able to speak your words clearly to us tonight, Lord. We pray, Lord, that all of us, Lord, would walk from here transformed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, Theo. Good evening, my name's Bernie. I'm from Shofar, Cape Town, City Bowl. That's our official name. We realize that we can't call ourselves gardens because everyone thinks that we live in the Garden of Eden there in Cape Town. We do, true story, but we decided to humble ourselves and rather call ourselves Cape Town City Bowl. So it's a great honor and a privilege to be with you guys. A few faces this morning, I recognize many faces. This evening, I recognize less faces, but there's a few of you that I do recognize. It's a great honor and privilege for myself and my team to be here this evening to come and share with you. I know Theo asked earlier, just to get an idea, how many of you were here last Sunday in the service? Okay, about 80%, between 50 and 80, somewhere there. I'm not very good at maths. It's more than half. I know you all look so eager. I think some of you just put up your hand because, yeah, whatever. What's that? All right. I really felt welcome when I came in this evening and I saw that there's a beautiful motorbike parked across the road. I feel home where there's motorbikes. So if any of you ever want to buy me a gift, but seriously, I love bikes. It's a great honor and privilege to come and bring the Word of God this morning to you. And we're going to get a little practical tonight. I know you were practical last week. Now, Andre and I are very similar in many different ways. It's really not good to hang with both of us. We get very excited about God. And I'm very thankful and also challenged that I'm preaching after him. All right, so I'm thankful because he's broken the ice for me. Challenged because he does set a standard, doesn't he? Amen. Really a man of faith that just said, Lord, use me. You're mine. And you believe in healing, Lord, because you came and healed. So I'd like to believe in that too, and I want to do that too. And that's all that he did. And real testimonies of amazing healings as he's going along. And so I'm preaching from that sort of space as well. But I'm going to give a little different sermon this evening. I entitled my sermon this evening, Prophetic Grace. The reason it's called Prophetic Grace, because when Ross phoned me, Pastor Ross, he said, Bernie, I want you to preach on Prophetic Grace. So there you go. I didn't have a choice. Okay. See, my name's not even on it, because I'd have to actually put Ross's name on it. So he's speaking on Prophetic Grace. And I need to give you a little background on myself. And it's really hard as a speaker because I'm not walking the road with you. See, in our congregation, people get my jokes. They get my quirks. People know when to tell me that's enough. Stop now. You know? You punk. I see you don't have time cards in this church. You guys need time cards, right? Do you do? Please keep me accountable to the time cards. It really helped me this morning. I was going for it. My wife was like, dude, like, stop now. I was just like, introduction done. Let's go. I'm just like, Neo, thanks for bay. Okay, thanks for coming. Amen. So hopefully this evening, what I did was I took 22 slides and I've turned it down to 11. So hopefully we'll get a good sermon out of this and some practical. But I don't walk the road with you, so it's hard for you to understand where I come from. But I pray for that grace that you'll give me to be able to impart something, that my team and I can impart something into your life. And in Shofar, know that we don't just put anyone in the pulpit. Ross doesn't invite anyone over. It's really, really an honor when someone sees the gift in your life and says, we see this gift in your life. Do you mind coming and speaking to the congregation? And that's really an honor. I need to say this, though. I have a great heart for the prophetic. I will never claim to be a prophet, ever. I think we have made a mistake with what we look at prophetic and how we look at prophetic and what prophecy is, and also what we deem as prophets. So I'm very careful in this day and age. Okay. Very careful in this day and age what we consider to be true prophets. I don't believe there's many true prophets walking this earth at this time. Speaking about someone with the mantle of the prophetic. All right? The mantle. Yet it's one of those gifts that everyone wants to be a prophet. I remember I was telling my team earlier, I was spending time in Israel many years ago, and the one guy that was the inauguration of a church that just opened, and they brought in the biggest speakers in the world. Okay, we're talking about the Benny Hinn's and those guys. Big, big boys in the spirit realm. I was able to sit under some of these guys' teachings, but some of these guys was just wacko, absolutely weird. And they claimed to be these prophets, but can I tell you something? I was not drawn to Jesus by anything that they said. Disclaimer. Prophecy will always, always, always lead you to Jesus. Even if it's a rebuke. I've had some amazing rebukes in my life. Given to me, not given. Not given out. Received. I've received some amazing rebukes. Because they made me come closer to Christ. Most true prophecy, when someone really prophesies over you, should bring the fear of God in your life. You should be petrified for two reasons. One, it's too big for you to do. Yerekani. It's the first thing. And it needs to be that. Because if it's not that big, you can do it without God. And the second thing is must bring the fear of the Lord in your life. Lord, if I miss this, then I'm going to miss my calling. So it has to be this catch-22 moment that it's going to put you into, like, I'm undone here. Are you with me? All right? All students should understand this. It's when they give you that handbook and you've got to study for the exam and you go, I'm undone. If I don't write, I fail. If I do write, I'm probably going to fail. I'm undone. Jesus. Hey, students, it's amazing how a student can pray. 5 minutes before an exam. Any student will be able to raise the dead 5 minutes before exam. Kijk, iemand moet net dood val daar in the name of Jesus. Stand up. And Lord, help me. There's a lady that died before any of you were born. And her name is Catherine Kuhlman. She died in 1976. She was the greatest woman revivalist the world has probably ever seen. Definitely that they've ever seen in the States. And Catherine Kuhlman had two things that I want to share. The first thing was, before she started, she went to God and said, Lord, I have nothing. I have nothing. I can't do anything. But I love you. And I can love people. Give me love for people. That's all she wanted, was love for people. And God gave her one of the most amazing healing ministries the America has ever seen. She did crazy stuff. You can download, you can find some of her sermons. Don't listen to it. She is bad. Okay, she was really serious when she said, Lord, I've got nothing. She was not a good speaker. Okay, I've listened to some of his sermons. I'm going like, what? Lady, you should give someone else the mic and then you should just come up and heal. All right. That was the way I looked at it. But praise God. But an amazing heart when you hear preach. Amazing heart, nonetheless. So that's the first thing. And the second thing that I want to mention about her is the following. I'm quoting her now. She never wanted to accentuate healing. She never wanted to make healing a big thing. That's why she preached. And the second thing that she did was, she never wanted to indulge in sensationalism. It was never a show for her. It was never come and receive healing. It was come and meet Jesus. So this morning, at least this evening, and this morning I did this well, but this evening I come before you with that same cry. It's not about sensationalism. The Holy Spirit does not give His gifts to you so that you can do circus tricks or feel good about yourself. That's called stealing the glory of God. And you don't want to go there. You never want to go there. All right, I'm throwing disclaimers this evening. A while back, God gave me a very amazing dream. An amazing vision. It was in church. It wasn't a dream. It was a vision because I was in church, right? We don't sleep in church. If ever you fall asleep in church, okay, and you skrikwakker, you just say, yes, Lord, amen. All right, and people think, wow, this guy was just in some amazing trance right there in the Holy of Holies. Then you look at the guy next to you and you go, God is good. All right, you'll have him all fooled. So God gives me this vision. I'll never forget this vision. It's a vision of a horse, a beautiful, beautiful horse. And this horse comes into the city, but the horse can't go into the city. You see, a horse's feet, its hooves, are not made to walk on cobblestone. And it's this beautiful old, it looks like almost like a European city, Belgium, Brugge, those type of places, all right, with cobblestones. But this horse can't walk there because it needs, what does a horse need? Horseshoes. That was hard. He needs shoes. And then the Lord took me in this vision where the blacksmith was busy bending this piece of metal and hammering. Have you ever seen how they do that? Anyone? You've seen documentaries. Come on now. All right. And how they bend that metal. And then the Lord said to me something profound. I went to go share it with the congregation. I said, guys, the horse is the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit can't go into the cities. He needs to do it with us. The only thing is that you have to allow the Lord to bend you to fit Him so that He can take the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ into that city, being the lost. And I love the fact that it was a beautiful city. God doesn't look at the world and go, ugh, okay? He really has a heart for the people of the world. So the bending that I'm standing in faith for us tonight is the following. I pray that God will bend us into compassion. Is that beautiful? Is that nice? Is that okay? Amen. Thank you, sister. I've got a Mama Sylvia in our church, and she's the only, Cape Tonians are weird, I tell you. We drink coffee, but that's all we do. Right? So, Cape Tonians are weird, because they don't say amen in church. I don't know why, but I've got Mama Sylvia, and I thank the Lord every time for Mama Sylvia, because she's the only one. And I'm getting Mama Sylvia to get the church ramped and amped and ready and go. Alright? So, amen. We do this together, guys. It's a community. Alright? Can anyone tell me, okay, well, why we say amen? Before, let it be. Yes, but you guys are educated. I forgot you got Ross. Let us pray. Father, this evening we pray that you will bend us, mold us, shape us, that we may be the horseshoe of the Holy Spirit. Our heart, Lord, is not to glorify ourselves, not to push ourselves, not to be special in any other way, Lord, than being a child of the living King. Thank you for every person, Lord, in this house tonight. Thank you for the expectation. I thank you for the joy that is set before us. Thank you that if it goes well, or if it goes horrible, that you are good. And that though it goes well or though it goes horrible, we still represent Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we pray this evening that we can become one step closer to you, Lord. One step looking more like Jesus. In Jesus' name. And all God's saints said, amen. Amen. Corinthians tells us this beautiful analogy, if I can say it. It's not an analogy, but this beautiful scripture. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. I love what you guys did here. I'm going to take this back to Cape Town. It's going to be a bit weird. I don't think we do little pools. Yeah, Cape Townians. I love the celebration that we had now over the importance and the power of baptism. It speaks about being unified with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. See, the same Spirit that is in Jesus, that raised Him from the dead, is the same Spirit that is in you when you say, I do. All right? Most of you are unmarried. Can I ask you really to enjoy being unmarried and single? Now listen to me. I'm being serious now. Not because the way you think I'm being serious. I was the most happily bachelor I know. Hey? And then I met my wife. And then I got married. And now I'm the happiest married man on the face of the planet. Can I tell you why? Because I celebrate the season I'm in. If life sucks being single, I'm going to put money on it. Life's going to suck when you're married. All right? I'm sorry, ladies. It's true. Guys, I'm sorry. It's true. If you can't be faithful to the perfect Lord Jesus Christ in marriage, eyeball. When you get married and that person's not perfect, all right? You know when your wife's not perfect? It's when she wakes up. No. You know when your husband's not perfect? It's when he wakes up. Save. It's when you wake up and you look at her with his face and your breath is like of the devil. And all you can think of is coffee. It's that moment where you will realize, ladies and gents, what it's all about. Be content single. Be content in dating. Be content in being engaged. I don't know how you do that one though, because that's just a weird season. Marry as fast as you can when you get engaged, okay? When you have that ring, have the wedding planned almost, you know? Here we go, love. Okay, we're marrying tomorrow, yeah? Wedding's tomorrow. Sorted it. I'm all genooid, it's okay. Nog net vir jou ouers, nog nooi. Okay, I'm not going to squirrel any further. I know of a couple that did that. No jokes. They got married and they just told everyone, hi, this is our wedding. Everyone thought it was just like this picnic braai. Even the family, it was. Don't do that. Right. We're speaking about Jesus tonight. What do we notice in the ministry of Jesus? We notice that most times before God does, before Jesus does a miracle, we see something. And I don't have the scriptures tonight because we don't have the time to go through it all. I was this morning here. So if you're this morning, you were there. Before Christ prays for Lazarus, it says he wept. Before Christ steps into Jerusalem, he weeps. Before he feeds the 5,000, he's moved in compassion. Jesus never does a miracle outside of compassion. Never does he look at someone and go, okay, well, let's do this. All right, you need healing? Fine, brother, let's just pray. Never. Jesus, all-knowing, always asks the person, what can I do for you? It's not like he doesn't know. We see it at the woman in the well. He knows everything. But he still has the common decency to say, I care. If you want to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, if you want to be like Andre, have a heart for the lost, the down, the out, the widows, the orphans. We're going to get back to that. You are called to be three things. You're called to be many things, but there's three things I want to focus on tonight. You may be called to be one thing. Yes, doctrine, I tell you. Called to be a follower of Christ. But there's three things tonight that we've been called to be. King, priest, and prophet. I want to look at those quickly. All right, if you don't believe me, ask Ross next week and he can explain it all and give you all the scriptures. We don't have time. All right, priest. What were the roles of the priest? The priest is the one that went on behalf of the people before God. They went into the Holy of Holies and they would bring sacrifices, they would pray, and they would make amends between God and man. You are called to be a priest. In your res, in your classroom, at work, at home, in the complex you live in. For Durbanville, for the Western Cape, for South Africa. You are called, we are called to be priests. See, this is where God speaks to us, by the way. When we come into the Holy of Holies, when we come to the throne room of God, we come with a petition and we say, Lord, this is the petition for your people. Everyone know Uncle Angus around here? Uncle Angus? Yes? No? Okay. Uncle Angus gets this. All right. It's part of his calling. He's really a priest. Heart for people. Always praying for people. Always saying, yes, Lord. So we are able to go into the Holy Holies and we are able to intercede for people and God is able to speak to us in this place. But that's not where it ends. See, we're called to be prophets. Now remember, I'm not talking about the mantle of a prophet. All right? The prophets declared what God says. They represent God to the people. So what is prophecy? Prophecy is the ability to go sit in that Holy of Holies, hear what God says, come out of the Holy of Holies, and declare it. Are you with me? All right, I know it sounds spooky, weird. Some of you are still struggling to hear God's voice. That's fine. But just so we can understand the principle, we're going to get there. See, we need to have a prophetic urgency and we need to have a prophetic accuracy. And that's something we grow into. Right, I put a disclaimer there. I think I've done enough disclaimers. I've had a lot of people that's come to me. I don't know why. Apparently, I'm a magnet for these guys. And they come to me, hi, I'm a prophet. Okay? I don't know why. Right? And then I go, okay. And if a guy starts like that, he's already lost me. Okay? You've lost me if you started like that. Unless you are truly a prophet of God and I actually know who you are. You know what I'm saying? And I have John Bevere to come in this room. Then I'd go, prophet of God, yes, please come pray for me. Okay? Because that's a prophet of God. Rick Godwin, prophet of God. Any case. And then they want to come and pray for me, and then I'm very kind and courteous. I let them pray for me. And 99% of the time, they pray a bunch of hogwash. It doesn't draw me to Jesus. It doesn't make me feel safe. It makes me feel confused. God's calling you, Bernie, to preach before millions. Why? What's that about? Really, millions? I'm not Reinhard Bonker, brother. You're going to have a massive church. What? So what's wrong with the church I have now? What, does God not love them? No, he's calling you out from that church now into a new season. Always the same things these guys pray. Thank you very much. God bless. I never correct them. You know why I never correct them? I don't have a relationship with the guy. If I had a relationship with the guy, I'm going to sit him down and say, listen, you dude, what you're praying is wrong. God has not already said this to me. It's not confirmation. Can we pray about this? Can I come back to you in a month and then can we talk about it? That's relationship. But if you're going to come shooting from the hips and you're going to cowboy, that's great. But go do it somewhere else. There are a lot of false prophets around, guys. There are a lot of prophecies going around that all it's doing is hype and it's to make you feel good. Okay? It's going to help you as much as a Britney Spears song. Okay? Absolutely nothing. It's just going to make you feel confused. That's all it's going to do. Oops, I did it again. And then God calls us to be kings. Now, kingship speaks about authority, right? It speaks about, we can read it quite nicely, a king takes responsibility for the welfare of his people. He provides both justice and mercy for them. We see that Christ did this. He brings protection. But it speaks about an authority that God gives you. Can I give you a practical example of all three in one day? Is that okay? Does no one want to hear this practically? You all got this already? Okay, we can go home. Let's all stand and pray. Close. All right, practically. So what we did was, then Cape Town, between a coffee break, God spoke to me the Tuesday morning. I'll never forget. He said, Bernie, this week at intercession, you're going to pray for rain. And as a good Christian, I took out my app, my iPhone, and I looked at the app if there's going to be rain, right? And there's no rain, as in like zilch, nothing, not a cloud in the sky. You know, 31, 30, 31, one of those kind of weeks. Now I've got a conundrum. Do I trust God and am I obedient? Do I trust the weatherman? I trust God. Thank you, sister. And so Thursday morning, we're having decision Thursday mornings before the day starts. You know, we wake up, ons maak die haan wakker. Okay. So we have really what feels, it's Cape Town. You know, most people start working at 12 and end at 3 in Cape Town. So it's really, really early. And I come into the auditorium, and there's about 17 to 24 of us. That's the size of our intercession. And when I say, guys, God's called us to pray for rain. And you can see the excitement in the group, okay? Because we've prayed quite a bit together. And we go for it, right? So first of all, we start as priests. We go before God and we ask him for mercy on the Western Cape. Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Lord, we remind you for your heart for Cape Town, your heart for the Western Cape. Lord, we need you. And that's how we start. And then we start declaring, right? And then we step in that place of being a prophet and being a king. See, we don't ask God for rain. We command rain. Did you know that? A lot of your prayers aren't being answered because you're asking all the time, and God says, I've already given you the authority. You have it. Go for it. So in any case, so here we pray, right? And you must be, if you want to know what prayer is about, please come and join. I brought some of them. Jock at the back. Get scary, man. When Jock grabs the Bible, it gets scary. And we prophesy rain, and we command rain, and we command the floodgates to open. And we pumped up, man. because it must be snowing outside, by the way, we pray. And we walk out, and you won't believe it. There's not a single cloud, there's nothing. And as a good Christian, I go, please, Lord, okay, may it just rain in the next week. Please, just pour dripples. Please. For our faith. And that night, the heavens opened over the Western Cape. That was that Thursday night where it just came down in buckets. Can I hear amen? Yeah. Here's the thing, right? So some of you are asking, so Bernie, are you claiming that because you prayed, right, you and your intercessors prayed, that you made it rain? The answer is very simple. It's a yes, no. Yes, we did pray, but we're not the only sons of Christ that heard his voice. We're not the only people praying on Thursday for rain. All the saints that were praying commanded to happen, and it happened. We were one part. Our ears were just open to hear what God was saying. And we were just obedient. That's all that it was. Because I've been speaking to some farmers and some people, and they said, that night, that day, God just laid my heart to pray for rain, specifically that day. And God grabs, because there's no distance in the spirit. God grabs us together and says, let's do this, guys. And you, I've given you the authority to bring the rain. So bring the rain. And God can bring rain. King, priest, and prophet. You see, 2 Timothy says, we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I don't have time to go through this, because there's four sermons in this scripture alone. It says, we've not been given a spirit of timidity, is the actual word. Intimidation, timidity. But he's given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, compassion. Remember, we're speaking about Christ and the compassion of Christ. And he's given us self-control, discipline. These are the spirits that the Lord has given us. Matthew 16 says, and I have given you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. We loosed the rain that God had prepared in heaven onto earth. Because God has given us the keys. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the power of prophecy and speaking life. See, life and death, you know this very well, is in the tongue. It really is. Whether you believe it or not. See, I can curse my wife every day, or I can bless my wife every day. Now, I like to say I'm the guy that gets it right and does it every day. I don't, all right? So I have to repent a lot. But when I speak life over my wife, life over my congregation, life over my friends, life over the situations, life happens. When I start moaning about my country and I'm moaning about my lecturers and moaning about everything, I speak death. And because life and death is in the tongue, God honors that. Did you know that? It's a responsibility he gives us, unfortunately, and fortunately. It's the power of compassion. And I've asked Gert to come and share his testimony. Poor Gert, he's had to share this testimony like 14 times in the last 2 weeks. Every opportunity I get Gert in. Gert was in this congregation. Gert, come up here. Before he shares part of his testimony, what we're doing in Cape Town at the moment, our congregation, is we're doing an 8-week program right at this moment. 8 weeks where we, every Wednesday night, are working through the different gifts of the Holy Spirit. So every night we take one gift, basically one gift, maybe two gifts, and work through the gifts. And then we practice them. Right, so we're fully, fully practical. Okay. You can move in all 9 the gifts as you are. But we'll get back to that. And he's going to share in Afrikaans just for you as well.
Okay. I'm going to do English. Does anybody understand Afrikaans or English? Okay, I'm going to do English. Cool. I just firstly want to say I am just a normal human being. I used to be in this congregation. There's a couple of faces that I do recognize, but then God called me to the land of coffee. So, yeah. We've been doing this SOS. Has anybody here done SOS before? Okay, cool. None. Yes, one guy. Okay, so we've been doing this healing. Andre was with us as well a couple of weeks before that, and we got Dear Bear from Stellenbosch who came and just thought about his lifestyle of healing and just walking in that gift that God has really blessed him with. And at the end of the night, they asked us to put up our hands if we are willing to commit to pray for 5 people. Mernie just put up 1 finger. I'm always an eager beaver to go in. So I put up my hand and I actually took it very seriously because God's kind of got something about healing. I've never seen healing to anybody else than just me. And I'm like, okay, well, that's selfish. I need to like go and pray. And I just asked God to really challenge me on this. So I went home and Thursday I was like, yes, pumped. And nobody around me is sick. At work, nobody. I'm like, okay, where is the sick people? And then I'm like, oh yeah, there's a hospital. So, and I can just cover all 5 people at once. So yeah, I went there after work. I was very pumped, Hillsong on the radio, and I went for it. And as I go, God just laid on my heart, hey, you don't have compassion. And I was like, is that the devil? And it just really struck me deep. And I knew it was God speaking to me. I'm like, okay, now I can't go. Thank you very much. So I just went home. I didn't like do a ritual or pray in tongues for hours or anything. I just like asked God, okay, give me this compassion. Okay, you say I don't have it. I can't make it myself. I'm just human. So just give me this compassion. So I just went the next day to work, all but still pumped. But during the day, I just prayed to God, just give me this compassion. I want it. I really eagerly want it. And Wednesday is coming. Then we need to report about the 5 people. No pressure. So during the day, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to go tonight there. The visiting hours is only an hour. Visiting hour. So on my way, God really just laid on my heart a vision. I've seen some pictures which I thought maybe is, I'm also a creative. I do graphic design, illustration. So there's a lot of pictures in my head every day. So I see this very specific picture of a very specific bed in a very specific room in that very specific hospital. And I'm like, okay, challenge accepted. So I go to the hospital, and when I enter that room, I saw a situation. You don't need to be a doctor or doctor student to know it's a bad one. And I did, and I saw that specific bed, and I saw the guy with his mom and his brother there, and I did what every good Christian would do. I go to the bed next to him. And, yeah, I'm like, wow, this is just way too big for me. I can't pray for this. And I just start reasoning, okay, the family's there. I don't want to bother the family and all that. And I pray for this guy, and I'm like, yes, my first person done. And a great guy, I just start ministering to him a bit. Whatever I know, whatever I can't. There are no big prayers or anything. But still in my heart, I just feel I need to just do something. I don't know what. So I went to them. Tani Mari was the mother. She was in a wheelchair. She also had a off leg, and she was also not very well. She was also sick. And the brother was there busy cleaning his other brother on the bed. And this guy was yellow with purple spots, and he was just in a terrible state. And I am one of those guys, when I pulled my first teeth, I fainted. I'm not good with medical things at all. So this was very out of my comfort zone, and I just stepped in there. Okay, God, I can't say anything. I can't. And I just started praying. The study was Vicky Skeptis. She asked me where I'm from, Shofar, and the brother knew Shofar. And so I just started sharing my testimony and just where I'm from. And I pray for him, and I pray for her, and I pray for her brother. And while I was praying, God, just more, like, okay, what about the father? What about this? Praying for this. The brother was in a terrible situation. Prayed for that. And I could just share the time with them. And, you know, it was pretty amazing. And as I pray, I saw this guy that was lying there in this terrible state. He's got a breathing thing as well. And he just watched me the whole time. And I just, that broke me. That just really broke me. So I went after that and I had some good coffee. And I just went back to my life. Thursday afternoon, I thought, well, let's go to the hospital again. And as I leave work, this Tani called me. I left my number for her. And she said she just really wanted to tell me that he passed away a couple of hours after I was there. And what really stood out for her, she had such calmness in her voice. She just said, but thank you. It was just great to know that God knows what's happening. And she just shared about they've been going through a tough time and about what she believes, what she not believes. She was very unsure, but it meant so much that there was something. I'm like, okay, cool. This is awesome to hear. And then before we finished off, she said, but she's just got another question to ask me. Is that night she went home and she had this dream. Like she woke up at 5 o'clock and she looked at her phone and it was the hospital missed call. But as she woke up, she saw this guy, her child, walking with Jesus, she would say, because there's just peace and light and all that. And what does it mean? And I just like, I don't know what it means. But yeah, that brought us so much peace in that. And taking from there, I was really inspired. So I'm like, God, you can use me. I'm like, I don't know, do hospitals and everything. So I went again to the hospital the next week and trusting God for another thing. I want to see stuff. I want to see you move. Because I first went there to see healing, but yes, God, if you can like touch people's heart, and that place is really not a good place to be. So, and last week I went again just to pray, and I'm just putting myself in that space to trust God to do something. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I can't do that. And I think the scripture, I shared it this morning as well, kind of ties in with what was said before about death and life. It's in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 2. It says, better time spent at a funeral than at a party. Because death is everybody's destiny, and the living should take note of that. And I think it speaks of about putting yourself in a place not to be distracted, not to be not used by God, but putting yourself in a place of awareness of where you can have compassion and where you can impart. It would have been great if he just stood up and walked out of the hospital, but God's got a bigger plan with that.
Amen. You see, we have the ability to take the compassion of Christ to a family. And what I believe that dream represents and what it means is that God came and touched a guy's life. And in that moment, he connected with Jesus. You see, because of that, that man is now walking eternally with Jesus. That was the moment of his salvation. We are able to take the love of Christ to the world. It's not about the healing. It's not about the raising of the dead. That's a great bonus. It really is. Great faith builder. But it's truly about the heart of Christ that wants to connect with every person. That's prophecy. See, prophecy can give you direction. It can help you with the road that God's called you. But the reason he's showing it to you is because of his love for you. See, Christ was very kind to us. In the Old Testament, the prophets wrote a whole lot of laws, right? And then they had the Ten Commandments, and then they had all the extra laws, and you had to do this, and so many pigeons you had to kill, and so many this and that, and this and that. But Christ was very, very kind to us. He broke it down to two things. Matthew 22. He broke it down to two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. With everything you have, love God. And with that, the second commandment is as much and as great as the first. Love your neighbor. On these commandments depends all the law and the prophets. You only need those two things. You see, all you need to do is make a little bit of space for the Holy Spirit. If you've got compassion, all you need to do is just give a little bit of space. And the Holy Spirit will take that space, like we saw with Gert. All Gert had to do was just arrive at the hospital. Just go do that one bed. And when he arrived, the Holy Spirit did the rest. Gert didn't have the words. He didn't know what to say. It was really a hopeless situation. Okay, he's really given the shortened version of it. It was a desperate, desperate situation. It was dark. There was very little hope. And Gert had to go, well, God, you can do something. I can't. That's all that it takes, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. And then you say, Holy Spirit, come and do something. And I believe Andre would have preached a lot about that, about stepping into that flow, heaven's flow. Francis Chan, some of you guys will know him, said something when asked the question. They asked him basically, what is his greatest concern at this point? And he said something like this: not only are we missing out on life, but we are turning away our children by the droves because our lives are not the adventure they see in Scripture. And they are not experiencing the Holy Spirit. What they're experiencing instead is a Christian version of the American dream. See, here's that double-edged sword part. You have to have that compassion, but we have to move in the gifts, guys. We have to have the Lord move through our lives. Otherwise, there's no difference between us and the people in the world. There's no physical difference in the grace that we have. So this evening, what we're going to do as a practical and as ministry, I'm going to call my team up. And I want to show you how easy it is to get a word for someone. God is always speaking, always. He's always got something in his heart. You open the Bible, there's something, right? Have you ever opened the Bible, there's a blank page? Anyone? Very thankful that half of those books are out, but New Testament, nothing, right? God's always saying something. God always has something to say. Yes, there's seasons where he's more quiet. Absolutely. When he says to you, Bernie, there was a season, listen to this, I need to quantify this. There was a season about 5 years that God said nothing to me. It's 4 years. 4 years of silence. Where it wasn't hearing word after word after word after dream after dream after vision after vision after vision. Because God just wanted to know if I love him. And if I'll do what he said I must do, because he said I must do it. Not because I'm moving gifts. Not because I can prophesy. Not because of all these things. I serve God because he's God. Whether I raise the dead or not, I serve God. Whether he's speaking every day or whether I pick up the Bible and read the Bible because it's the right thing to do. And there's no great special word for me today. You know how we read the Bible? Can I call my team up? Who's got a Bible? Someone, not an app, but praise the Lord. My word, brother. It's the Global Study Bible. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That's how we read the Bible, isn't it? Lord, what do you have for me today? Hey, guys, let's be honest. That's how we read the Bible. Isn't it? Lord, I need a little something today. Many of us are like junkies with the word of God. I need my fix. Sorry, that's not how God works. Scripture was written to be read in community. If you understood and knew that, the way you read the Bible would be totally different. Come to intercession. That's how we read the word together. What is God's heart for the land? What is God's heart for his people? What is God's heart for my friends? Nothing wrong with seeking a special word for yourself, please. All right, everyone go, okay. Just don't do it all the time. Truly just seek what God's heart is and you'll realize it's got nothing to do with your heart and it will change your heart. You will be transformed when you have what is in God's heart. You know, those issues you struggle with, you will get delivered of them. One of the greatest moments I had was when I went to Pastor Fred May back in the day, and I said to him, Pastor Fred, I've got this problem. And I was warned, never go to Pastor Fred with a personal issue. Okay? I made the mistake. The next thing, I was youth pastor. The next thing, he's telling me how the whole of God's heart for the African children in Africa and how many orphanages. And I'm like going, never mind my problem. I'm unsaved, never mind problem. And I walked out there like undone, okay? I just realized that I'm missing God completely. I'm fixated on my own issues. I got over them really quickly. Right? Sit with someone that's not going to go, ay, you know, ah, tochi, tochi. You need those people. They're awesome. But sit with the other person that's going to help you. Staan op, kom, staan van iemand gaan bid. Right? Have both those people in your life. All right. So what I've asked this, what the guys to do is to get specific words for specific people here. Okay? Is that all right? Just as a bit more practical. See, God wants to speak to us nonetheless. Because he's got a plan for your life. And I need to state this too. Okay. So God gives me this incredible word. Oh, Bernie, you're going to become a beekeeper for the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus. And Pity comes up to me the week after. Dude, you'll never guess what. What? God spoke to me. That's awesome, Pity. Tell me what God said. God says I'm going to be a beekeeper. Say, whoa. And you know what happens with Pity and me? I start a ministry, the Bernie ministry of beekeeping for the kingdom of God. And Pity starts a ministry, the Pity ministry of beekeeping for God. And what we don't understand is that God's called us to work together. Because he ain't so worried about what my calling is and what Pity's calling is, because it's about his calling. And we'll be doing twice the damage to the kingdom of evil if we're just working together. Okay. So if you get a beekeeper, can I ask that all the beekeepers come together afterwards and we'll start a beekeeping company? Right. So how should we do this? Okay. I've got a song prepared. Can I ask that you guys just read the words? Okay. Just so we can pick up the heart of God. And as it's ministering, we're going to call some of you up to pray for. And then afterwards, when we're done, if you want a word of God, and I'm not going to say that we're going to get a very specific word of God, but if you want a word from God and you need a word of encouragement, because that's what prophecy does, it's to encourage, then come to us and we'll pray for you afterwards. Is that good? If you need healing and you didn't get your healing last week, we have guys up in front. Can I ask that you come for healing? God wants you healed. All right? For some of us, we're still walking it out. I've had amazing healings in my life. I still have places I'm standing in faith for healing. High blood pressure. Cholesterol. I'm still standing in faith. I don't see it in my life yet. But I don't let go because it's not happening. God says I'm healed. It just hasn't manifested in my body yet. And I'm just carry on until I see that manifestation. So just allow the Lord to come and minister to you where you're at. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your faithfulness. We come and submit ourselves under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that you will come and speak to your saints and to your children now. Thank you that your heart is, Lord, to give us direction. Thank you for the gift of prophecy. Thank you that we can prophesy life, that we can speak life. Thank you that we can command rain to come. I just had a word here, and this is a sensitive word. I've had this word before. It's the second time I get a word like this. I'm not going to call you to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. There's someone here that's had an abortion, and the Lord knows, and the Lord knows the pain that you've gone through afterwards and the destruction. I want you to find someone in the church that you can trust. And God wants to bring you healing. I got a very similar word a few years ago in Rondebosch for a person in the congregation that did the same. And I remember that God called me to pray, and I just prayed over the congregation. And I'm going to pray for that lady now too. And the Lord just said, pray for this lady. And I prayed. And the Lord, because what happened was that actually damage had happened from the abortion in her womb. And I said, the Lord heals your womb right now in the name of Jesus. And I remember I packed up my bags and was ready to go home, and a lady came to me afterwards, and she said, that was me. And as you're praying, God came and healed my wound. I could feel God's hand just healing. God really loves. Father, I pray for that lady. I thank you, Lord, that there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Lord, I come against every ministering spirit ministering in her life, and I say in the name of Jesus, you will stop. She's loved, paid, and bought for, and she has repented. She's released. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Guys, can you call out one or two people that you've recognized that God's spoken to you? Or just call out anyone. Point to them. To the front to come and pray. They're going to call you up. Don't be shy. Call someone up and then pray for them. And while they're doing that, I'm going to ask the Lord for a few specific words. And then for all of us here. Okay, as they're getting words for people. Because, I mean, otherwise we're going to be here all night. So how it works, guys, is that God will give you an impression. God will give you a vision. God will give you something. He'll never give you the full download. Okay, he's never going to tell me, okay, this is John. John lives here. He does this. God's calling to do this, 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 this. Gives you a little picture. And that's where it starts. And then you just pray what you see. And from there, you pray a little bit more, and you pray a little bit more, and you pray a little bit more, and you pray a little bit more as God leads. Simple. Guess what? This always needs to be a safe space to get it wrong. This is church. We have grace. So someone gets it wrong, you go, high five, buddy, close. But no. That McDonald's cheeseburgers ministering all the way. And that's fine. We need safe spaces to get it wrong. Amen? Amen? This is a safe space. So I don't have a word yet, but God said I must pray for you. What's your name?
Nelius.
All right. Nelius, God says that he's called you to rise up amongst giants and like a colossus. I see you like in those Greek, what do you call those things they made of the people, the Davids, and you know, the stunt builder. Thank you, Afrikaans. I see you like that, and God's raising you up as a pillar. And as you walk along, you need to trust God to add. Your biggest challenge is going to start relying on your own strengths. The Lord says you must always plug into him and want more of him. The more you're going to want, the more he's going to raise you up, and the more your pillar raises, the more that foundation's going to raise. The Lord's going to give you many people to look over. He's going to, I believe it's in business, and you're going to have a lot of hands all over. So your hands quick, fast, everywhere, helping people up. So the upliftment of people. Does that make sense to you? Okay. All right. So you'll notice that I always ask the person, doesn't make sense. Okay. So just like engage, because sometimes it doesn't make sense. And sometimes for the future, and he's got no idea. And sometimes, now he might know what it means. It's all German to me. All right. But God speaks to you in the way that you hear him. Okay. So he'll use images that you enjoy. I had a word for a guy this morning, and he loves running. So God gave me a vision to do with running. Now, I don't know that about the guy. I don't know him well enough. But God was speaking to him, and just was able to speak to him and say this, that, and the other. Are you with me? Because God speaks to you as you are.
Okay, cool. God, I didn't pinpoint very someone specific, but I'm going to call you out. I'm watching you. Cool. Is there a lady that really likes to bake cakes? Like, really likes to decorate them amazingly. It's really a passion. Okay, but I just feel I need to be congregation to be as witnesses. I got this, you know, the picture of the cakes, but it's being delivered to a king. And, sorry, I get emotional. There's a disclaimer. Sorry. But I just got this, that you really enjoy baking. While there's baking, I just hear you singing while you bake. And also that you're asking God to speak to you. Well, I saw this picture of the cakes being really baked very well and being brought before kings. And I don't know if it's a thing, like baking prophetic cakes. But yeah, to bake cakes for those up, it's a key and access to speak into the lives of bigger people, the kings of this country, through your baking, through your passion, through your gift. So that's the thing. If I can come and pray for you.
God will use your gift to bless people. See, you can pray over those cakes. You can bless those cakes. You can prophesy those cakes. It sounds funny. You know how I learned? You see, C.S. once said something amazing. C.S. said to me, as internships, those of you know C.S., he prayed over every chair. And then God started speaking to me about the people in the chairs. That's where I started. I prayed over the chairs. And after a while, I'd have words of knowledge very specifically for the person that would be sitting here. After a while, I was prophesying like you can't believe. I would prophesy a guy's salvation. Tonight is your night in the name of Jesus. Tonight you will get saved. And then I watch that chair like a hawk. And I pray. Come altar call time, the guy stands up, the girl stands up. Because God had an appointment and he called him to sit right there. We can pray over our work. You think you're only an accountant, what can I do? I've got this friend from Somerset West, his name's Eugene. He just quit his job and he's now working for the church, but he's doing church and business, but he's next level, okay? He sees his job as his ministry. He ministers to everyone always, okay? I had to go to Pick and Pay the other day with him. We had to go pick up 2-3 things. It took us an hour and a half. After a while, I was like getting the stuff. I was like, okay, Excel canal, you know, cash register, move, you know. He just ministers. And you must see how people drawn to him. He's got this crowd around him. And here I am, the pastor, like by myself. And they turn around like, what do you do? I'm a pastor. Kr, kr, kr. The ability to just pay for something and get a word for someone at the cash register. Because God wants to speak to them. You know the best prophecy that you can do is you can lay your hand on someone and say, God bless you. God loves you. You're awesome. Really nice to meet you. Speaking life. Blessing people. You don't have to have this amazing word. You don't have to know that they've got pain in their body. You don't have to do a healing. Just take one step forward. Maybe you're able to heal. Take one step forward. Maybe you've never greeted the stranger. Take one step forward. So if you're around me, you'll notice some weird stuff started happening. The other day I came home from ministering at church and there was a Satanist outside my house, right? And the reason I know he's a Satanist is because he's fully in his robes. I mean, this guy looks like a monk from the 17th century. Black robes, you know, like the chick in the movies. And so now a lot goes through my mind. The first thing I want to do is go give him a high five. Ask him how he's doing. Okay, and the Lord says, no, you're not going to do that. And I go, okay, I'm not going to do that then, Lord. I've had a long night. I'm tired. I'm going to go home. Okay, so we live in a flat complex there in Cape Town. And it must be about 8 o'clock. 12 o'clock, I stick my head out the window. This guy's still praying, like frantic, like as in demonic tongues, hoing millis. Okay? And here's the problem with this. This is my street, because God's called me to minister in the street. I know all the baggies' names. I know all the action. This is my street. And I don't pray for hours, guys. I don't go and take him on in the spirit realm and go into massive warfare. I just pray in the name of Jesus. I cancel all his prayers in Jesus' name. I declare that my family is under the blood of Jesus. And then the Lord released me. The burden was gone. I didn't need to pray anymore. I went to bed. Nothing came from those prayers of that guy. Because I know the authority I have. I know who I am. I know whose I am. And I'm able to minister in that place. Because God loves that guy. He truly does. Here's an awesome story. We're doing outreach a little while back. We go to trance parties, right? You guys know that. We do outreaches at trance parties, and I was at a trance party. And a buddy of mine, we get a word of knowledge that there's a Satanist. I mean, witches, not a Satanist. Witches at this trance party. And we're really excited, right? I think I've shared the story here before. I can't remember. Any case, we go and my buddy and I, we're just looking. We're witch hunting, right? Okay? Like old school. Barcelona. God says, yeah, he's got your number. We're going to tell you about Jesus tonight. Really excited. And we notice this table. And around this table is about six ladies. But they're all sitting with the food on the table, looking outside in a circle. And the Lord says, that's the covenant that you're looking for. And we start walking. And the next thing, weirdest thing ever happens. This guy, this guy is like from the movies, like you've never seen. He's the most handsome man I've ever seen in my life. Okay. He's got gray hair, like long gray hair, just amazing, like from a movie. And he just stops us. He cuts us right in and says, hi. And he greets us. And we have this conversation with him, and his back is towards the witches. And we start asking him questions, who he is, how often he comes to trance parties, tells about the drugs he's done, all these things. But here's the strange thing. As these women stand up and start walking away, remember he's not looking, he's looking towards us. He goes, and he's in the middle of conversation, he's having a conversation with us. He says, thank you, it's really nice to meet you, I've got to go now. And he moves off. He's the warlock looking after them. And that night we weren't able to minister. But God showed us because he's faithful. We were able to pray for this woman. We had a person that once OD'd at a trance party. And CS then prayed for the person. The person just stood up like that. I remember one night I was at a trance party. The guy sitting there, we're looking for someone, right? You know, looking to pray for someone. We don't find anyone. And so like typical older Christians, we just find a haystack and we just sit there. And I tell Tian, the Lord's going to send us someone. So we both giggle. And the next thing, this guy sits next to us and he's high as a kite. He starts talking, babbling on. So I'm like, well, this is the guy that God sent. And I start talking to him, like, but ministering. Hey man, who are you? I say, I'm a son of the living God, and I just want to tell you a little bit about Jesus. The next thing, this guy's sober, 100% sober. He skirk himself. He's like, you can see the drugs are gone and he's back to normality. And then he starts talking about how he was in church and how he got hurt and what happened there. And we were able to minister him. But God came in and just spoke to him because he had a moment. Unfortunately, he was too high to be able to minister to. So God just sobered him up like that. I mean like high, high. I'm not talking about like a little one drink too many. I'm talking about floating in, floating out high. God wants to reach us. God wants to speak to us. God wants to use each one of us. So what we're going to do now is, in closing, okay, Chad's got two more things, and then we're going to close.
Okay, cool. Sorry. I just need to be. I saw a broken mirror, and in terms of bad luck, if there's people here that think that bad luck is following them, like superstition, everything, and it's kind of become a thing. It's just my luck. I really believe God wants to break that, because bad stuff has been happening to you, and it's self-proclaiming prophecies. It might be a couple of them. Can you just, I don't know if you call to the front or.
If you have cycles, you've noticed cycles in your life that things just crash every time. And you get like a little bit of a breakthrough and then it crashes. And you just feel that you're cursed. That there's a curse in your life. Chad's going to pray for you. All right. There's going to be a few of you. But hold on. Carry on.
Cool. And then in terms of healing, I really feel that there's somebody who's got a heart problem. Like heart loopings or just really something for your heart. We can just trust God to bring healing and restoration.
Can I ask for that heart guy or lady? Are you here? Maybe it's someone you know. It's there at the back. All right. Chad's going to pray for you, and then Chad's going to pray for that group. We'll pray for the group. But what we're going to do now is, before those guys come, okay, can we all stand? What we're going to do now is we're going to... I'm not as tall as Theo, so I definitely have to stand up here. I want you to find someone that you don't know well, someone nearby you, And you're going to pray for them. So can I ask you to grab someone? Can you identify someone? Can you make eye contact? High five. Guys with guys. Girls with girls. I need us to focus. We need to stay focused. All right? Have you found someone? If there's someone that doesn't have someone, can you raise your hand? There's one in the back. No one is going to pray. They're all petrified of him. Can you find? It's all guys. Like, okay. Okay, guys. One thing you're not going to pray for the person is mates, dates, and babies. Okay? If you have fully yerese, jy gaan 'n man kry, come talk to me afterwards. We'll double check that word. Okay? And it's very simple. All that you're going to do now, I'm going to first pray, but all you're going to do is, you're going to pray a blessing of that person. And if you see an impression, if you feel something, then I want you to pray that. Now, for some of you, okay, if you like chat and you're creative, man, this is here is your course. This is your food, right? Yes, I see. And someone starts drawing it and getting excited. For those of you that are engineers and accountants and studying to be those things, it's going to be maybe a little harder, right? You're going to go, but what does this mean, Lord? But I need to know the whole thing. But this guy, okay, just relax. The first impression you get, it can be something as simple as, man, I just see that you're really a giving person. God's called you to be a giver. And if there's something else you add, and there's nothing else, nothing else. All right. If you have a vision, okay, I see a bowl and there's a goldfish and there's a goldfish in the bowl and this goldfish swimming around. Okay. Do not give interpretation. Okay. So the goldfish obviously means like blessing or something and water purification and, okay. Do not give interpretation. If you get it wrong, awesome. If you get it right, awesome. Okay. Are we ready? I'm going to pray for us. And then one by one, you're just going to pray in the Spirit if you can. If you can't, it's also fine. And then just pray whatever you see. And then take turns. We're going to do this for 2-3 minutes. Okay, so quick. All right, putting pressure on you. If you get nothing, just want to say the Lord blesses you. He loves you. That's fine. Father, Holy Spirit, I thank you for your faithfulness, Holy Spirit, that you use each one of us. I come against all fear that wants to minister now. I come against any false expectations. We just throw everything aside, Lord, and we just say, Lord, use us to minister to your people. Thank you that we can be in the house in a safe space, that we can pray for one another. Thank you that your heart is to speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So just pray for a little while in the Spirit, and then if the Lord lays something on your heart, please go for it. All right. Can I so ask that we be praying for the second person? Can we just pray for a second person? If you've finished, you can take your seats. We just need to close off. So can I ask that you can take your seats if you've finished? All right. You need to be saying amen. Can I ask? We're not swapping telephone numbers. Let's just sit down. Okay, honestly, who was blessed by the word they got? Okay. See? It's as simple as that. God's heart is for us to bless. But here's the challenge, guys. It has to be a lifestyle. Not a once-off event. That's why I'm encouraging Chad, and Chad's just going out to the ceiling thing. He's just going to go and pray. He's just carrying on, carrying on, carrying on. It was interesting when I started preparing for Words of Knowledge and Words of Wisdom, two of the gifts that I really flow in. I couldn't think of a single testimony to tell the guys as practical. And I thought, why is that? Who here can remember what they put on their toast 3 weeks ago? 4 weeks ago, a month ago? Okay. If it becomes so much, praise God, there's one or two guys. Brother, it's easy, I'm a jam man, I just jam. Students are like, what do you mean? I was like, Bovril, 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 it's always Bovril. Okay. I can't remember what I had for dinner 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. Why? Because it's a lifestyle. I do it so often, I get so many words so often, that it's part of my life. And I really had to go seek for it and remember a few things. So, when it becomes a lifestyle, it just flows. Most of the words I get for people, listen here very carefully, in closing, I never share with people. Why? I only share when God tells me to share. For the rest, I just pray. You know what the most awesome thing is when you see, when you're praying for someone and you see that breakthrough? You go, oh my word, this breakthrough. I had part of that, man. Prayed for you, brother. That wife prayed for you. It's awesome. But it's between me and God. Isn't that awesome? You can pray for people. You can pray for people into salvation and they'll never know about it. You can pray them into out of bad situations. They'll never know about it. Because God can trust you with that. And then He can give you more and give you more. And then He'll say to you one day, Bernie, listen, I need you to quickly phone this person. I need you to quickly do this. I need you to do this now. Now it's time. And then He releases you. Because I never become familiar with God or the gifts of God. It's a responsibility. It's like riding my motorbike. It's a responsibility. I can burn it, I can open it, I can drive stupid, I can kill myself. Or I can enjoy my bike responsibly. The gifts are the same. Okay. For those of you that prayed and you're totally off, thank you for just taking that leap of faith. That's one step closer. Amen? Keep on keeping on. Trust God. He wants to use you. And yes, you might not move in the words of knowledge, words of wisdom and prophecy. But to encourage you, go for it, guys. God's heart is really that we move in His gifts. And you'll always move in one or two more than the rest. Healing is one of those I don't move much in, but I've done a lot of healing nonetheless. Because God just looks for someone that's available. Okay, who can heal? Well, we got Bernie, so then he can go. And I thank you, Lord. Awesome. No one else can, so at least I can see God heal. God wants to partner with you so you can take compassion to the world. Amen? You guys have been beautiful. Thank you for this time. Thank you for coming to church tonight. Thank you for being part of this community. Students, you are awesome. Study hard, work hard. Prophesy hard. Listen, guys. When we pray, there's a place when you hear God, you command it. When you hear God, you command it. Right? There's a difference between asking God for something and commanding. And it's a place you grow into. So yes, you might command wrong. I've had a few girls that commanded that I was their husband. Kid you not. Can I tell you that as a finishing testimony? It's going to surely throw all the women out here. Men, listen to this. So, I'm minding my own business, and a demon comes and grabs my arm. Like this. So immediately I go, no, don't touch me. Okay, I have the gift of discernment of spirits. I see dead people. I don't see dead people. So I see the spirit and I command to leave and it goes. Then it's like, Lord, that was weird. What was that? And the Lord said, gave me a word of knowledge that there's a good friend of mine who was praying that I was her husband. So I pick up my phone. Cease. Hey, Yohanat. Yeah, Benny. Yeah. Love to go for a cup of coffee. Yeah. You know, she just prayed that I was her husband and now I'm phoning. I mean, this is confirmation of God, right? Cease, man. So she comes over 2 days later. I said, listen, please stop praying. I'm not your husband. Oh, yeah. I said, no, let me just show you how to pray for your husband. You command your husband to come to see you. You command that you see your husband. You command that you change more into Christ and that God prepares you for your husband and that God prepares him for you. And that's how you pray. You don't add a name. I'm not that name. Yes, Matthew and I did hear from God that we were to be married. That's another story for another day. Okay? So be careful what you pray for. When you prophesy, Yeah, by God. Check your heart. If it's about you, it's not of God. If it's for that person, it's about God. God wants rain in the Western Cape. It's got nothing to do with me. Okay? I'm still going to enjoy my shower just a little shorter. That's all. But God's heart is for the Western Cape. God's heart is for rain. Amen. Thanks, guys. You're awesome. Have a great week. Be blessed. That's it. All right. If you still want prayer, please come up afterwards. Theo and his team, you guys can come minister with us. Thank you. Enjoy coffee at the back.